Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia Togba. It is so good to have you with me once again for this episode of A Year in the Word. Amen. It is Sunday, the Lord's Day, and we are giving Him glory and honor. Amen. Today we're reading from Acts chapters 13 through 16 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. Amen. We glorify the Lord on today. He is good. Amen. He is working miracles on our behalf. Amen. He's keeping us from danger seen and unseen. He's protecting us. He's upholding us. He's lifting us. He's changing us. Amen. He is molding our lives into that we were destined to be from the very beginning. Amen. We are people of purpose, people of greatness, people of excellence. Many of us don't even realize that that's who we are yet. But because we are born of a creator who is absolutely excellent, who is absolutely faithful, who is absolutely loving, he is teaching us, amen, how to position ourselves in the earth. He's positioning us. Amen. So that we can be in the right place, in right fellowship with Him. Glory to God. Amen. It is so important, amen, that we give glory and honor to the Lord because He is worthy. Amen. He is worthy no matter what you are going through in this hour, no matter what you are facing today. If you would uplift the name of the Lord, if you would give Him glory and give Him praise, if you would allow Him to take over, amen, He will change things for you. Glory to God. Amen. He has done that in my life over and over again. I'm not telling you something that I don't know for myself. I am telling you, I have done things that have been, you know, the world might look at the things that I've done and said, she's a Pollyanna kind of thing. But I have done things, amen, that are not perfect, that is not right, that is not true, amen, that I haven't even been true to myself at all times in my life, let alone being true to God. But you know, the Lord is merciful and He is good. Amen. I am one, amen. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. It's probably the best way to put it. So perfect by no means, amen, perfect by no means. But God has a way, amen, of showing us that we are loved when we don't realize we're loved. We feel like we've been cast away and rejected by others. And the Lord is, His arms are always wide open, and we are never forgotten, and we're always valued. We are always loved by Him. Amen. He is looking and pushing us, even those things that happen in our lives, pushing us into His direction so that we would see that He's been there all along. He was there all the time. All the time. He was right there waiting for us to look up and live. Oh, glory to God. I give Him glory and honor today. Amen. Because He is God, and He is God all by Himself. I mean, He doesn't need any of us to say that He is God, amen. He is the creator of all things, and that includes us. He is our creator. He knows exactly what we have need of. We don't know what He needs. He knows what we need, amen. And we don't know the activities of God at any time. Scripture lets us know that we prophesy in part, so He'll allow us to see a portion of the things that He's doing, but not all. Glory to God, but we know that He is great and He is faithful. We know that He is true and that He has promised us so many things in His Word. His promises to us are yes and amen. If you read through the Word of God as we are doing in this series, remember the things that the Lord has spoken. His promises to us are yes and amen. And He is true to His promises, not as men count truthfulness or as men count faithfulness. He is true without a shadow of a doubt, and He is not a man that He should lie. He is not fleshy. He is not faulty. He is true and faithful and just. He is right. He is love. He is God, and He is our deliverer. He is our Savior. He is our keeper. He is our strength. He is our help in the time of trouble, or present help in the time of trouble.
His name is the name that we call upon, and we're safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in, and we're safe. Glory to God. He is God, and he loves us so, so very much. So much that he's constantly in pursuit of us. Just like when you have a misunderstanding with your husband or with your boyfriend or with your girlfriend or with your wife or in a relationship, you have a misunderstanding and you love that person. So you're going to go after them. You're not going to allow them to be away from you for too long. You are going to pursue them and let them know that you love them, that you are there for them. God does so much more than that for us. That is a piddly example. And then compared to that the Lord does for us. But it's one that we can connect to because we understand that. Oh, but we cannot see everything that the Lord is doing because he's always at work for us, always moving on our behalf, always, always maneuvering things. Amen. Removing things, setting things in place, setting things in order, repositioning, realigning, aligning and positioning, setting up and tearing down. Glory to God for us. Glory to God. We give him glory and honor today because he is God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, my God, we give you glory and honor today. Oh, God, because you are God and there is no other. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved except the name of Jesus. Lord, we honor you on today. We give you glory. We give you praise because you are God. Oh, my God, you are, amen, wonderful, that counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We give you glory and we give you honor. In your marvelousness, we honor you. In your excellence, Lord God, we honor you. In your majesty, we honor you. In your sovereignty, we honor you today, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we bow ourselves before you and we give you praise. Oh, God, and we give you honor because you are worthy. You are worthy. Oh, God, you love us so much. And we can't even fathom that kind of love because we feel unworthy at times. And we know that we have been faulty and we have been wicked and we have done this and that thing. But you cleanse us by your power and by your spirit. And you allow us to have the righteousness of Christ upon us, whereby we are cleansed, not because of any thing we have done, but because you love, oh God, you have done these things for us. And Lord, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy, your love, and your kindness. Oh Lord God, move in us even right now today. Wash us, Lord God, clean, clear the slate, Lord God. Wash us of those things, Lord God, that have hindered our way, Lord God. Remove everything, Lord God, that gets in the way of our purpose and our destiny. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, every wickedness, every ancient evil that has come against us, Father, in the name of Jesus, bind it up. Lord God, put it in a chokehold in the spirit. Burn it up, oh God, with the fire of the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord God, set a legion of angels in the atmosphere in every place where every listener is right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let every inch, every particle of the atmosphere be filled with angelic presence that come directly from the throne of God. Holy angels. Oh, Lord God, to make war with the enemies of our soul and to minister in the atmosphere, Lord God, and to clear out every ancient evil, every demonic presence, Lord God, that would hinder us and that would hinder the work that we are to do for you and that we do for you even in this hour. Bless, heal, and deliver your people on today. Move every obstacle, Lord God, every situation that looks like it's mountainous, turn it into a molehill before their eyes. Right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God, we speak to those things right now and tell them they must move right now in Jesus' name. Devil, loose your hold right now in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking that you go down through even our generations, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, close every opening to our DNA. Close every bloodline opening, Lord God, that our ancestors opened up, Lord God, that we didn't realize was evil, that they didn't realize that was evil. And even those that did realize, Father, in the name of Jesus, close those doors today. Any doors we may have opened ourselves, we're asking that you shut them tight, Lord God, and seal them with the Holy Ghost and fire so that they cannot be reopened. In the name of Jesus, move right now, Lord God, in the midst of us, and help us, Lord, to know who you are and who we are in you. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we are going forward and not back. Oh, Lord God, we are being strengthened and not weakened. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we are strong in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, our head is lifted and we see in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, our ears are open and we do hear. Oh, Lord God, open our minds and our hearts and our souls to receive of your word on today. Oh, Lord, put an impression in us as we read, Lord God, and as we absorb your word into our spirit. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, receive even right now. Lord God, even as that one who received in good soil, Lord God, prepare us now, oh God, to receive from your spirit. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, move every hindrance, Lord God, every obstacle, and destroy every yoke of the enemy and every assignment of the enemy that has come against us. Lord, cancel it right now in the name of Jesus. It is canceled, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And the trail that he blazed, Lord God, on the way to us, Lord God, we burn it back up, send it back, Lord God, from whence it came, even right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, seal us in your power, seal us in your spirit right now, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, seal us in your blood right now, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I give you glory and I give you honor because you are my protector. You are my hero. You are my Lord and my Savior, my deliverer, my help, my hope. You are the author and the finisher, the pioneer and the perfecter of my faith. And I honor you, Lord God. I give you glory and I give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray today. Amen and amen. We give the Lord honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is so worthy, so worthy, so worthy. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're reading again from Acts chapter 13 through 6 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. Amen. It is a little bit lengthy, so bear with me. Amen. Sit back and enjoy the word of God. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to you. Amen. Because the Lord is always speaking, always, always, always. Amen. Let him speak to you today, even as we're reading the word. Amen. Let him, hallelujah, let him console you today. Let him heal you. Let his presence overpower you today. Amen. Amen. Let him come in and give you counsel and give you direction. Glory to God. That is what he's here for. Amen. And that is what we are here for, is to guide you into his presence. Every time you hear a preacher, you hear a pastor, you hear an evangelist, you hear a teacher, we are guiding you directly into the presence of God. Amen. We're not here to be your God. We're here to be your guide and to guide you into his presence, where there is fullness of joy, where there is healing, where there is hope, where there is understanding, where there is fulfillment. Amen. Where there is joy and there is peace and there is love. Glory to God in his presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God in his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're reading from Acts chapter 13 through 16 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul
Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of the Lord. But Elymas, that sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now when Paul and his party set sail for Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted arm he brought them out of it. Now for a time about 40 years he put up with their ways in the wilderness, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet, and afterward they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus, after John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he think, I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwelt in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for his death, for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm. You are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, "I will give you the sure mercies of David." Therefore, he also says in another psalm, "You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption." For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was not the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews and with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. In Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus came, whose temple was in front of their city, brought them in garlands to the gate, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good. He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the doors of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them a Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by the word of mouth. Seem good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, and many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John, called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to do the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with them, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in the number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in the cities for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who were there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Now it happened, as we went in prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her."
and he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do not do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his house, he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the officer, saying, let those men go. So the keeper of the prison reported those words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed." And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Amen. We have read today from Acts chapters 13 through 16 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and most of all the doers of his word, and sanctify the truth in all of our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I praise God that we are, amen, embarking upon the book of Acts. Amen. It is also called the Acts of the Apostles. Amen. It should be rightly called the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because we see the move of God in the Acts, in the book of Acts, how the Lord used the apostles, amen, to proclaim the gospel of peace, amen, to bring people out of the bondage of sin and to declare salvation to a dying world. That's what we see in this book, and I give glory and honor to God, because that is the same word that is being proclaimed throughout all the earth. That's the same word that is being proclaimed throughout all the land and every nation. Amen. The Lord is sending disciples. He's sending apostles. He's sending evangelists. He's sending witnesses throughout all the work, the world, to proclaim the gospel of peace, to bring them out of the bondage of sin and declare truth to those that have been in the darkness for so long. Amen. They are bringing light in places, amen, that have only been dark. That is what Jesus does. He is the light that came into the world, amen, to in light into all of our lives and to remove the darkness that had us down. Amen. We were walking around bumping our heads up against all kinds of things, amen, because we were in the dark. You know how it is when you're in the dark. I have sustained several bruises on my legs trying not to turn on the lights in the middle of the night.
amen, and I couldn't see, so we get bumped and we get wounded, amen, because we're walking around in the dark, but Jesus is the light, amen, and when the light comes, darkness has to flee. Darkness absolutely flees when the light comes. Amen. And that's what the apostles did. They brought the light of Jesus, the light of Christ. Amen. In every place that they went and they declared Jesus, they declared salvation. They declared the good news of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he came with. And there is power in the mighty name of Jesus to break every chain, to loose every stronghold. I don't care what it is. I don't care how strong the devil tries to say that he is. There is no power that is greater than the Lord. Amen. And he came to set the captives free, all of them, not just some. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. So that word is going forth throughout all the land. And even in this broadcast, amen, I declare to you, Jesus Christ, he is the Savior of the world and the Savior of your life, amen, in your situation. He sees you. He knows you. The hairs on your head, they are numbered. Glory to God. And the Lord has, amen, he has, amen, a mighty, mighty, mighty work for you to do as well. Amen. He has purposed you in the earth for greatness. And if you don't know what your greatness is just yet, say yes to the Lord. Amen. And he will show you great and mighty things that you know not of and that you could not have ever imagined on your own. He will take you places that you have not seen. Amen. Even in the realms of the spirit, you will be able to, amen, as the Lord sees, as he allows you to. Amen. I give glory and honor to the Lord today. He is our salvation and our hope, amen, lies in him. Glory to God. I speak life right now in the name of Jesus and peace into the atmosphere in Jesus' name. Life in the name of Jesus and peace. God rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. God rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. Life and peace into each and every one right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Yeah, you. That's right. You. You. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I praise the name of Jesus. Amen. We are loved by the Lord. Amen. If other people have failed us, if their love has failed us, their rendition of their definition of love has failed, the love of God, it never fails. Jesus never fails. There is no failure in him, and he is always faithful and true. Amen. You can depend on him. He'll never let you down, and he will always be there for you. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Amen. I hope you will continue to join me in this journey as we continue through a year in the